Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. All right, welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And today, we are going to be discussing our trip to North Carolina last weekend. It's obviously in play for the presidential election. It's a swing state. There's also a governor's race involving Mark Robinson, who we had the pleasure of speaking with. There's also a race for the superintendent of public instruction that we got to become familiar with on that trip. And before we get into all that, we want to remind you, you can support us on Hero Hero, herohero.co/thegoodliars. Just $5 a month. The link is in the description here. It helps us go to all these terrible, terrible, terrible places. DeVrom, how are you feeling after our trip to North Carolina?
I'm feeling good. I'm rejuvenated. It just gave me so much energy to be in such an incredible place with such amazing people. Yeah, just energy through the roof here. Nothing like going to 5 events in 2.5 days to give you a shot of adrenaline that you need.
And sometimes when we're on the road, we just have to be honest, you don't have a lot of time to eat. So sometimes we will eat fast food, which is a segue to the first thing that we're going to talk about today. The 45th president of the United States. I'm going to put giant air quotes in the air right now. And for the listeners, I just want you to know that's out. They're big,
big air quotes.
The 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump, worked. These are the air quotes. A shift at McDonald's. DeVrom, what happened here? What was happening here?
Well, we have the picture of Donald Trump, I think, scooping some fries here. And so, you know, if you know any more about this than I do, feel free to chime in. But as I understand it, Donald Trump wanted to draw attention to the controversy surrounding Kamala working at McDonald's many, many years ago. People are saying it didn't happen. She says it did happen. Not
you're,
sure why.
You sound like
it
Trump. People are
much.
Saying.
People are saying.
A lot of people are saying.
Well, it's just funny that it has become this big of a story that Donald Trump decided he wanted to work a shift at McDonald's to, you know, try and continue to call into question whether or not Kamala worked there. So he did this. So there's something weird about accusing Kamala of faking her time at McDonald's and then doing, to your point, huge air quotes, a fake shift at McDonald's. Like, no doubt these were not like real customers. I'm sure he didn't have to like clean up his fry station afterwards.
No, no.
I'm sure a manager didn't yell at him.
That would be
I'm
great.
Sure,
like,
didn't
the
make
fuck are you doing?
$6 an hour.
Burnt
or
the
whatever.
Fries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they rehearsed. They were, it was like all, you know, I don't want to say plants. I don't think they like made it seem like they were real people. I guess they did kind of by just doing it. It makes it seem like they're real people. But they rehearsed them going through the drive-thru. And one person asked about raising the minimum wage, and Donald Trump in like true Trump fashion just totally deflected the question, didn't answer the question at all. It's just talking about how great McDonald's was. So a way to go. I mean, it's a okay campaign moment, I guess, but like, is it a good thing for him?
I mean, people are saying that it is. That's what
stop doing that. You can't keep going. People are saying.
Well, it's an opinion. That's what okay. that when it's all an right. opinion. People all are right. saying. Right. Piers okay. Morgan was one of the people. He said this was like could be like a defining moment of the campaign and could like sway things. I think the word he used was genius. That this was genius.
Genius. Wow.
So I'm having trouble seeing why it would be like so impactful. I also don't understand why they would pick like that particular like apron setup. I don't know. I'm not buying into the success of this. Like some people are saying.
Some people, yeah, folks are saying. Many people are saying. Many people are saying. Yeah, I thought it was, you know, it was just the most Donald Trump thing to do, which is just, it's like all that matters is the image that you get out of it. Right. And I know, like, of course, it's just like the mugshot where the mugshot was released. And we talked about this before. The mugshot was released and everyone on the left was like, look at this fucking idiot. He looks so fucking stupid. And everyone on the right was like, look at this badass. There there hasn't been a cooler
Good
person.
Point. Good point.
It was the same thing with this when you saw the picture of him like in the apron. Like my initial reaction was like, this is ridiculous. This looks ridiculous. The whole thing is just obviously just a put on and he looks so silly. But other people have a different reaction to it. And now that we went to five events, right? We went to five events. My brain has melted. And I'm like, now, like,
you're starting to think this was pretty cool.
I don't know. Not that I think it's cool. I'm just like, I've lost faith in how people will react to things and see through bullshit. I
think
totally
it's
lost faith.
It's just what
in
you
it.
Said. It will be seen differently by both sides. But what matters is the image. It's so hard to imagine that people are actually convinced that he's like, look, he put on the apron and he scooped the fries and he's just a regular guy, just like one of us. Regular billionaire who was given millions and millions and millions of dollars to start his real estate, fortune, his real estate business and his hotels and his casinos. But he's just like us.
An everyday guy. He's an everyday guy. But I do think like Donald Trump, his love of fast food, it is a, like, I don't know if humanizing is the right word, but it's there's like an everyman appeal to that.
Do you think
like,
it came through in this, in this photo op? Do you think it came through? Was it like, man, he loves this. He genuinely loves this.
I don't know that he loves, you know what? Look at this. He's a guy born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He loves McDonald's. This is well documented. He loves McDonald's.
He eats McDonald's with a spoon.
He eats it all the time. And I bet just like this rich guy who's never like sat in the front seat of a car, like never, you know, he doesn't drive. He's just this rich guy. He's out of touch.
Right.
And he was thinking probably like, I wonder how it all works. Like, how do they even make the fries? How does that even work? How do they taste so good? And he, I think, was like, this is a cool thing. It's like going and being in the cockpit of a plane. But for him, it's like he's in a plane all the time. That's not an exciting thing for him. Him going to McDonald's is like the kid in the candy store.
He really got to see how the sausage gets made. I wonder if they put like a little staple, a little fry to his chest. Like they would in the cockpit. You know, they give you the wings.
Yeah. He's just two little fries on there in the shape of a T. Put on his chest. Yeah.
Well, regardless, people are saying that everyone loved it. That happened. The other thing that happened, right? There was kind of another big deal.
There was a huge deal, according to Donald Trump. A huge, massive deal. I'm just thinking about presidential politics here for a second. Taking a step back to really set up what we're about to talk about.
Sure.
We're in the last 2 weeks of a presidential campaign. It is a neck and neck race right now. If you look at the swing states, they're even. Most of them are even. Trump is ahead in a few of them, but it's mostly a dead heat by all the polls. A presidential candidate went on stage and started talking about a golfer's dick size.
Yeah.
2 weeks before the election, I guess a little more than 2 weeks.
Smart. Okay. Smart.
Do you have the clip? Do you have it? Do you have the clip?
I have the clip ready to go.
Play it.
But Arnold Palmer was all man. And I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women. But this guy, this is a guy that was all man. This man was strong and tough. And I refuse to say it, but when he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there, they said, oh, my God.
Oh.
That's unbelievable. I had to say it.
This stuff, it's one of it. It's like it's Trump, as always, just saying stupid shit all the time. But now it's like he has these rallies and he talks. I think now his like rallies have gone up, like the time that he spends on stage has gone up by like 20 minutes on average. It's because he just says shit that pops into his head, which is like really a poor quality for the leader of the free world.
Yeah, but he's having a good time, right? He's enjoying himself. He's getting to say whatever comes to mind. You gotta love watching him just in his element, right?
I mean, he's fucking hate it.
He's like,
I just like said, it's not even funny. Like, this is funny. It's funny. It's funny. He's talking about dick size. Mm-hmm, that's funny. Mm-hmm. But he was the president. This guy was the president. And now, like, most of the voters in this country are, like, ready to elect this guy again. And he is clearly getting older and just, like, letting whatever fly that he wants.
Tell me what's not to vote for. He's a regular guy. He works at McDonald's. He talks about people's dicks that he saw in the showers at the
let's get the story straight here. He never said that he saw him. He said other people would say that they saw him.
Oh, he said people are saying? He said
yeah,
what I
exactly.
Was
he did the exact same thing. Yeah, yeah. Get your story straight here.
Do you think people, like, I mean, we're talking about in the last 2 weeks of a presidential race, it is hard to believe that this makes the cut of the thing you need to tell people in Pennsylvania, probably the most important state. Do you think stuff like this endears him to people, or is it just rambling? I mean, I know he couldn't have, like, planned that. That's not a thing you, like, put in your script and, you know, put in front of a committee of your
right.
your
There's
people
no
and decide yeah. on. But, you know, at the end of the day, do you think this endears him to people? Like, yeah, he's shooting from the hip. He's saying what's on his mind. It's funny. Does it play into his honesty? I mean, everyone talks about his honesty. Is something this ridiculous actually help him?
Well, I think with Trump, there's like two things. Okay, so to answer your first part of your question, yes, it endears him to the people that already love him. I don't think this is like going to sway any swing voters right now.
There's not like a meaningful sliver of undecided voters that are like,
this is the guy. Trump's this is the guy now. That's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think those are the people that he needs to be worried about right now are the swing voters, because they're the ones that are going to decide the election. And
like us,
something like this,
we haven't decided yet.
Yeah, we haven't decided. We don't know. Yeah. That's what I'm just so worried about this, because the election day is coming. It's my birthday.
Right.
It's a big day. Yeah. It's a big day. Hopefully I can make it between all my festivities that you've planned right. for me. I'm
happy
assuming.
Happy upcoming birthday. I hope you brought your flippers. And an avocado and and your driver license.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. I'll pack all those things. I'm ready for my exciting water park / Mexican food / driving test. So I don't think it's not helping him. It's not helping him, but like, I don't know, like the McDonald's thing, I could say could maybe. There could be some people that saw that and were like, that's just funny. I like it. It's good. He's like really like showing he's an every man. Cause you just have to kind of take a stupid pill and think that, or you just see it and you think he worked there or whatever. The Arnold Palmer dick says, I don't think it's helping. I don't think it's
see,
helping.
I him. Think it is. I think it helps. I think people are like, you know what? I like not caring about what I say. I like not worrying about the consequences of what I say. Look at this guy doing it on the biggest stage of all. He's someone to look up to, someone that I, you know, wish I could be more like. And so something even this dumb, this ridiculous, I I think I agree with you,
but like I said before, those are the same people. Like, it's not like this one was the straw that broke the camel's back.
So much of what he does is try and be in the news cycle, and this is like not like a vicious thing. This is not a thing that's going to necessarily turn people off. It's a thing that's going to make some people laugh, some people scratch their heads, but he's being talked about.
All right. So. Well, yeah, that's one thing he's very good at, is being talked about. Speaking of talking about things, what do you say we talk about our trip to North Carolina a little bit?
Oh, and, swing in North Carolina. Yes. Swing state.
But before we get into it, I just want to talk briefly. We took an Uber to the airport, and I know this isn't the outline, but like, we took an Uber to the airport, and the Uber driver asked what we did, and DeVrom, you answered him honestly. And this is all on you. Everything that happens after this point is all on you.
This is on me. I have a general policy. Sometimes people ask what we're up to or we're going. Just kind of short answers. Like, the things we do require enough stress and care and attention. Like, sometimes you don't need to describe it to anybody who asks. This time I was like, I'm in a good mood. I'll say we're like political comedians. We're heading to some political events. And what followed was a full hour, the entire trip to the airport, a monologue, essentially.
It was a monologue, yeah. There were a couple of huh's. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Hour-long monologue about, he wanted to keep us on the edge of our seats. I think he knew he wanted it to wrap up exactly when we pulled up to the airport. He wanted us to not know who he was going to vote for, and he wanted to explore every conspiracy theory that he had and the reasons behind them and the reasons he was questioning everything. I thought it was an incredibly well-crafted hour-long.
Okay. It was a show. Moment. It was a one-man show. It was a one-man show. I will say, a block from my house, I knew that he was voting for Donald Trump. That was not in question.
Well, do you
remember? Not a question.
I said that 5 minutes in, and he goes, "You're smart. You must be like a psychology major." But then didn't confirm it. Got back into the monologue.
Well, because he was talking about like the good and evil. And usually, when people are talking about good and evil and spirituality, they're not talking about how they love voting for Democrats. Because that's at least what we've found on the road, I guess.
Would you hang out with this guy? Would you just hang out with him? See, I would. I don't know. He seemed like a cool guy in some ways.
Right. I liked him. No, he was a charismatic guy. Charismatic guy. But anyway, we got dropped off by, I don't know if it was QAnon, what conspiracies he was in. Definitely his YouTube algorithm was messed up.
Was it the conversation we heard, given that we were about to go to 5 events over the next couple of days? Was he the most out there interview?
No.
Okay.
Yes. So we went down to North Carolina, and Mark Robinson, we talked about him before on the show. He had this big CNN story break about some comments he left on a porn site, allegedly, years ago, that were pretty terrible comments, especially and kind of at odds with some of his beliefs, I guess, or some of the bigotry that he's been spewing.
Are they at odds, though?
Well,
for
some
instance,
of it. Some
for instance,
of it.
He referred to himself allegedly as a Nazi on this porn site.
Okay.
And then he also says publicly on his Facebook page that like his favorite historical photograph is a photograph of Hitler and Mussolini. He's definitely like, he tries to say he's like a history buff, but it's all just like the one kind of history.
It's a one little
era.
It's
like, yeah.
Yeah. One era of history. One.
Right.
Yeah. So we went down and we, our second day there, I guess maybe third technically, or I don't remember. Second. Yeah. It was our third day there because we flew in on Friday. On Sunday, we went to a Mark Robinson event, and he's got his events on his webpage. Didn't know really anything about this place we were going to. It was like a mile off the highway. And this is like, if you look at North Carolina on a map, there's cities all over the place. This is in an area that is not
a city.
A city. It is not a city. It is the opposite of the city. And do you remember what the sign said when we got there?
Gas and guns.
Gas and guns. It's the gas station and the gun station for this town in North Carolina. And we got out of the car before Mark Robinson arrived. There's about 30 to 50 supporters there. And I just remember thinking, it's real quiet here. There is no one else here. This is totally. There's not cars driving by. We are in it right now.
That's right. We were in the sticks of North Carolina. What you're saying, looking around, you look in any direction, there was like kind of like a four-way stop right next to gas and guns. And no one was coming through it. There's no like sounds of traffic. There's no city nearby. You're not hearing the sounds of the city we're used to. Just nothing but the like chatter of these people eagerly, I would say, anticipating the arrival of Mark Robinson, who has been in the western part of the state where the flood ravaged Hurricane Helene affected areas. He kind of wanted to use that to just be present but not on the campaign trail with Trump, because I think he's no longer invited.
No longer welcome. No longer welcome with Trump. So eventually, while we're waiting there, we have our microphone and we introduce ourselves to, or one of the guys from the campaign comes up and is kind of like looking us up and down and is like, whoa, why are you guys here? And we introduced ourselves. Hey, I'm Jason Selvig from C4. And he like kind of looks at us and he's like, all right, you guys can do an interview after the he speaks. And we're like, we didn't ask even.
Yeah. I feel like there was like a, I'm going to have a tough guy exterior, but honestly, the reporters have been few and far between at our events, so if you wouldn't mind doing an interview.
We'll take anything afterwards we can get at this point. But DeVro, do you want to talk briefly about Mark Robinson as a speaker? First time we've seen him live. What were your thoughts on him?
So I feel like I'm guilty of watching clips of him sometimes. I mean, when are you going to sit down and watch a whole Mark Robinson speech? And he comes across kind of like abrasive, and he said a lot of stuff. He said at one of his church sermons, he said, some folks need killing. Someone's got to say it, something along those lines. Like, there's aggressive things that he says. So when he kind of walks up in front of gas and guns and he gets a big applause, he definitely, there was kind of an aggressiveness, I would say, like, to the speech. But I thought overall, like, it was a pretty good speech. He was kind of addressing the controversy without getting into it, managing not to talk about specifics, but basically say, this should all be about the issues. It should be about policy. He said that a million times. And he talked about, you know, financially, how he was going to be great for the state. And then he talked about, I thought, probably something that would be described as a democratic issue more, about how teachers need to be paid more. He talked a little bit about that. But he was very comfortable. He wasn't, you know, nothing was overly prepared. People loved him. He had some applause. I thought he did a good job given where he's, you know, at in his campaign, which is down about 15 points in the polls after an incredibly damaging story on CNN.
It's getting closer in the polls. It's like around 10 now. I think 10 and 9 in a couple of polls.
These speeches,
yeah, going around. Yeah, I thought, you know, well, you mean you get to a certain point in your career, you're probably going to be able to give a speech a little bit. I knew he was like charismatic. I knew that was part of the deal with him. But I was surprised. I mean, people there really loved him. I mean, there's only like 40 people there, but they really enjoyed his speech. And I don't know, DeVro, we were talking about this. Do we want to? I don't know that I want to say what we were going to do.
No, because we might still plan.
We might still do it. But we were in a situation. It felt very scary. A little bit. It was a little scary there, the boonies with everyone with guns.
And not to like make people seem more scary than they were, but it was like the couple of people we did talk to were kind of like they had some edge to them. I think I asked one woman, would you take up arms in this? She was talking about a civil war. And she brought it up. And I said, would you take up arms if you felt that you had to? And she said, you're dang Skippy, I would. So we just knew that there were a lot of guns around. Not to mention we were at a place called Gas and Guns. So
Also gasoline just, there. That's not a good combination of things. Around. Now that I think about it, that is a bad combination.
You don't want to fire a gun near the gasoline, right?
I don't know. What? I'm not sure. I don't know. What does I'm God sure say about that in the Bible? So we did end up, I ended up talking to Mark Robinson. It was a brief interview. It was like a 5 to 6 minute interview that ended with him being upset and his supporters not liking us very much. I think I asked
I also enjoyed that you were the guy who said, you can do an interview, hang out till afterwards and you can do an interview. Like some kind of like, you passed the test.
Right.
He was referring to you as Jason. Like you guys like knew each other. Oh, come on, Jason.
Yeah.
This is not what was discussed, Jason. So you guys had a little bit of rapport going on. And also
he also gave me a pick. He set a pick on me
at the end.
At the end, he like got in front of me and like,
he was so sick of you, Jason. And then there's kind of a thing that we do sometimes where one of us is filming for the other, and you don't want to add to the intensity of a situation. You know, you don't want to somehow project lack of calm or anything. So I'm videotaping, and it's getting a little tense without getting into the interaction because we'll probably put it out there soon. But I'm trying to pretend like I'm kind of bored, like this happens all the time.
Like, ho hum, here we go. Yeah. Mark Robinson's like, how dare you say this?
Mark Robinson and Jason just having an argument, and I'm trying to be like, oh, we really should get to the Hampton Inn before sunset here. anyway, bizarre so situation. We have been in a lot of places, but that one felt isolated.
That was isolated.
And we bought a couple of guns.
And we got some guns, and we filled up the tank, which was good.
Yeah,
it was funny. We were leaving the event, and we needed gas. The tank was almost on empty, and we pulled over to a gas station after all this. And there were two like black SUVs that looked the same as the Mark Robinson, like ones that he came in.
Right.
And me, after just this whole situation, the guy kind of the physical nature of things that happened there, I was just like, go to the next
gas
station. I can't fucking deal with this right now. So it might have been Mark Robinson.
Decision. It might have been. It would have been funny to be using the urinals next to each other after that.
Hey, great interview, man. Yeah, you held your own there. I really appreciate that. Appreciate that. I swear to God, I appreciate that. You think about the election day, November 5th, 2024, an important day for the nation for picking the president. But there's also the local races, the races that don't get as much press, but also have a direct impact on your community and your whole state, you know, at the state level. So we found out about some local races in North Carolina, and there is one that we thought was very interesting. It is the race for superintendent of public instruction in North Carolina, and the Republican candidate is somebody named Michelle Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
And DeVrom, can you tell us a little bit about Michelle and why she is so qualified to lead the state in the education department?
Sure.
Yeah,
Michelle Morrow just has so many things going for her. You would definitely want her in charge of public instruction for your children. For example, she wants to be in charge of the whole public school system, but she does not have any children in the public school system.
Oh, I'm sure, interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure she would say because she hates it so much. But I do think that's like just an immediate thing that you might want someone who had children in the system or had previously had children in the system.
Experience in the system. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But the things that really stood out to us were tweets such as this here. So we are looking at a tweet here from Michelle Morrow. This is the candidate who wants to be in charge of public instruction across the entire state. It says Obama did it, Hillary did it, Schiff did it, several other names of people that she hates, with a few hashtags. The most notable hashtag, I would say, is hashtag death to traitors. So it doesn't feel like a huge leap to say that she has like a kill list, like a list of people that she would hope to die.
Very well put. Very
Do
well
you
put.
Disagree with that?
I don't disagree. I could see that in your eyes that you were like, I got to say this in the most eloquent way possible.
I'm just trying but not to is, sit. I'm not trying not nothing to eloquent sensationalize about it. Or just right. say it. What it is. Say anything untrue about it. It's just fascinating that this person would be like, I'm going to tweet this out. And also, I want you to trust me with the education of your children because I have this great judgment. You know, this well, is not like, yeah, yeah, please.
No, can I ask a question also that I know is just setting you up for something right now?
Sure, sure.
So, okay, she had this list. It's just one of the hashtags that she had there. Not right. a big deal. Okay, she said that people say stuff in the heat of the moment. That doesn't mean that she wants to kill and have any of these people killed. That doesn't mean that she wants to have any of these people killed, right? Like, it's just, she's just saying that she
you're saying it's not like, not necessarily explicit.
It's not explicit. She's not saying like of one of those people should
there
die.
There were other
for
hashtags.
Sure. And she doesn't give any specifics on how they would die. So, like, right. I don't know that you would look at that as kind of a bad thing.
Okay. Well, we can leave this be then.
Okay.
Or wait.
Wait. Well, okay.
Maybe
well,
there's another one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there's
cool.
another tweet here. We're gonna also look at this. So we're looking at another, you know, series of tweets here. Someone from the Deplorable Choir. I don't know who that is.
I think that's just them. That's their name, the Deplorable yeah. Choir.
That's right.
Their singular person is a plural.
33,000 likes, so it's someone with a following.
Oh, I see.
Who wants to see Obama tossed into Gitmo for treason? ! Okay. You know, you could be scrolling Twitter and you could think, I don't need to respond. Not Michelle, though. She replied, I prefer a pay-per-view of him in front of the firing squad. I do not want to waste another dime on supporting his life. We could make some money back from televising his death.
Wow.
Hashtag Obamagate. So here we are. Ooh. I don't know, Jason. You were wondering if maybe some of her comments had been misconstrued in some way, but it feels pretty clear now, right?
I am going to tend to agree with you there, DeBrom. I think that we need to have somebody who just does whatever the hell they want. The same point you were making about Trump before, never apologizes, right. does whatever they want, and then just lives their life that way. I think that's a great way to do it.
Inspiring.
So full disclosure, I actually knew about that tweet before DeBrom pulled it up. I actually did. And the truth is that we actually talked to some people about this at a few events in Charlotte, and I'm going to play one of those interactions here. Michelle Morrow is running for superintendent of public education here. She had tweeted a list of names and used the hashtag death to traitors. What's your thought on that?
Oh, I don't even know how to answer that one.
You have to hear the whole quote and know what she meant by it.
Right.
We have a copy of it. Do you want to take a look at it really fast?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the tweet here. It says, Obama did it, Hillary did it, Schiff did it, Comey did it, Yates did it, Holder did it, Clapper did it, Gates did it, Fauci did it, and then it's got a bunch of hashtags, and it says, death to traitors. What's your thought on that?
I don't know what she meant by that. I have to ask her who she thinks the traitors are. I mean, I don't wish death on anyone.
Right. But you don't think it's all the people that she said? You think that might have been misconstrued, that she was saying that she wanted Obama to die?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to ask her. She's the only one that can answer that.
Right. So,
so
maybe she didn't mean that she wanted Obama to die.
No, I don't think so. I think it's being taken out of context. We'd have to ask her, the author of this. We'd have to ask them.
Okay. Here's one other tweet that she did. Somebody tweeted, who wants to see Obama tossed into Gitmo for treason? And then she responded, I prefer a pay-per-view of him in front of a firing squad. I do not want to waste another dime supporting his life. We could make some money back from televising his death. Michelle Morris, she's just saying there that to kill Obama, right?
Yeah.
I don't want you putting words in my mouth. I don't know. You have to.
Oh no, just if you want to look at that, it says, I prefer a pay-per-view of him in front of the firing squad.
Yeah. Personally, if I was him, I would take that as a threat.
Yeah, a threat.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel like this person should be in charge of the public schools here in North Carolina?
No. We're learning.
Okay. No. No, I don't think so.
Well, no, just asking questions about
walks
this.
Away.
Okay.
Yeah. So you were talking to three women there outside a rally.
Yes.
And kind of showing them the tweets. And it was a little bit hard to get particularly one of them to feel that Michelle really meant those things. Although the other one seemed more willing to say that was probably a threat.
When I first brought Michelle Morrow up to them, she said, "Oh, I love Michelle Morrow. Trump backed her. She's great." And kind of made that a point to say that. And then I brought up the tweets, and she had skin in the game, I guess is what I'm saying. That's why she walked away. But it was interesting because a lot of people, when we showed them the tweets, thought, and it's Trump supporters, thought this is that's not a good thing.
That was a bridge too far. I mean, it tells you a little too much about this person, the way this person sees the world. And I think something as sensitive as like education, we were able to kind of show those to people, like you said, and get some reactions that were like, "Oh, that doesn't sound good."
Yeah.
So who knows? The polls are kind of neck and neck, right?
Yeah, yeah. The polls are close, and we actually got to meet Michelle Morrow.
True.
I don't even remember. Oh, Jacksonville, North Carolina. Is that right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, Jacksonville, North Carolina, and we're going to show a video of that fun interaction on Hero Hero. You can subscribe in the description there. Click of the link. It is herohero.co/thegoodliars. And it was a memorable day, at least for her. I mean, we've done a lot of these things with politicians, so it wasn't that big for us.
It was memorable for her.
Memorable for her. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it did make us think a little bit about the truth, right? The truth of our trip there, the truth of everything, the truth of this election.
Are you doing a segue right now to a moment
I'm
of truth?
I'm segueing to the moment
of
truth.
Fuck
Someone
yeah.
had to
Let's
do it. Are you ready for that? Do you want it?
I'm ready. I love truth.
All of this?
I love truth.
Well, the truth is that there's a big presidential election coming up, right? It will decide who's president. That's what a presidential election is. But the other truth is that on our trip to North Carolina, we were reminded about all the down ballot races. You know, some of them are pretty standard, obviously. It's just a conservative against a liberal. But in the case of Mark Robinson and Michelle Morrow, some of them are wild. Some of them are Democrat versus a guy who says some folks need killing. Or a Democrat versus a lady who has a hashtag death to traitors list. So the truth is that depending on how all these smaller elections go, the country just might get pretty death ready going forward.
Whoa, that seems like the truth, DeBron, and I appreciate you for shooting straight on that moment.
Yeah, had to.
You had to do it. Oh, well, thank you for that, DeBron. And thank you all for listening to The Good Liars Tell the Truth. Another reminder, I just did it, but I'm going to plug it one more time. herohero.co/thegoodliars. You can support us. DeBron, before we get out of here, we leave. And we end
leave.
This. I'm going to keep saying that just because of the Mike Huckabee prayer that we did. Do you have any words of wisdom for the audience?
I do. I'm glad you asked. If you have the good fortune to have a little bit of a yard, wherever you might be, throw a barbecue. Have people bring food and drinks over and have a barbecue, because undoubtedly they will always bring a little too much. You will have free food and free drinks for a week.
depends on the friends, though, right? Let's just be honest. Depends on the friends. I came to your barbecue empty-handed. You said, I said, what can I bring? And you said nothing. And then another text said, seriously. And I was
Okay, some people would know. Some people would know that I was just being polite. Some people would get that. Others, I guess, would not.
Well, I apologize for that. All right, well, that does it for the Good Liars Tell the Truth. We're going to keep this going on Hero Hero. See you next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Will you sign the tweet where you said a firing squad for Obama, a pay-per-view death?
By far, my favorite part was that there were three options. Three rooms you could walk into.
There were four doors. She came in from one of them.
One of them, right.
Yes.
So there were three other options of places you could go. And she picked one incorrect option, a second incorrect option, and eventually made it to her own event.